So what else do you want to know about Grinnell?
Well, tell me, how did it feel to be at Grinnell? Did you feel like a pioneer or a leader? Did you feel?
No, never felt like a leader. I was just part of the group. And I enjoyed all the group activities that we had at Grinnell. And Professor Connor was the botany professor. And he taught us so much. We had a botanical garden, and he told us about all the flowers that are there. And in the fall, he let us dig up the peonies, and I got every color that they had and planted them in our yard.
Oh, nice.
So we had those beautiful, huge pink, white, and red peonies that bloomed.
They're beautiful. Why did he dig them up?
Well, they always dig them up and divide them.
Oh, okay.
Because otherwise they get too many tubers.
Gotcha. Yeah, Grinnell still has beautiful gardens.
Oh, yes.
Everybody around campus has pretty gardens.
The botanical garden was south of 6. Mm-hmm. It went from 6 to 5th, and it had a walkway through the botanical garden. It was right on the rock of the, we call it the M and St. L.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota and St. Louis.
Yeah. Or Missing and Still Lost.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know there were gardens over there.
Yeah, that area right next to the railroad, mm-hmm. that whole area between 6th and 5th was a botanical garden.
That must have been pretty.
It was beautiful because he had all those beautiful mm-hmm. flowers and all the different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he was the most outstanding moss professor in the United States.
How interesting. Did you take some classes from him too?
Oh yes, we all had to take botany.
Did you like that?
Oh yeah.
So it sounds like Grinnell was a pretty welcoming place.
Oh, it was. Very, well, of course, Grinnell was just a part of us. And we had so many of the people who were professors at Grinnell belonged to the Congregational Church, and they had known our family
mm-hmm.
because I had 5 siblings, and they were always interested in what they were doing. President Nolan,
mm-hmm.
was president. When my sister graduated from high school, my oldest sister, and he and his wife were instrumental in sending her to Fisk.
So where did you fall in the family order? Were you the oldest or the youngest?
I was next to the youngest.
Okay.
I was number 5.
Uh-huh.
And my brother was number 6, and I had 3 sisters and 2 brothers. And when they had the 75th anniversary for Grinnell, my mother was in the pageant that they had at the Grinnell High School.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the pageant. What was that like?
Well, it was all about the history of Grinnell.
Uh-huh. The city or the college?
Not the college, the city.
Okay, got it.
Because, we were part of the city.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. It was just so interesting to see all the people were in costume. And back in those days, you know, those dresses were long.
Oh, they were.
And very different from our day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, And my mother had gone to school with Mrs. Grace Peck. And that was when Grinnell had an academy. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you see, my mother was involved with academic Grinnell way back then.
She must have been a big believer in education.
Oh, my. That was the first thing she said. Get an education. Get an education. That's all we heard, all of us. That was just a part. And she always told us, they may be more beautiful, they may have more money, they may have more clothes, but there is no one better than you.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that was her motto, and that's what she taught us. And so consequently, even though we did be having six members of the family, and my father was a chef, and sometimes he had work and sometimes he didn't. But he raised everything that Henry Fields had in his catalog. And he also planted every kind of fruit tree that would grow. And my mother canned everything, including the chickens.
Yeah.
Because when it's so cold, chickens won't lay. Mm-hmm. And so that's when she would can them. And then she started out in March with baby chicks.
Mm-hmm. So you ate good, because I know
we
that.
We ate well, very well, because in the fall, before my mother killed the hens, she would put them down in what they call water glass. So we would have eggs all winter. And of course, my father raised everything, and they had a big wooden box in the basement where they saved the potatoes. Mm-hmm. And then in the garden, he dug a hole for the carrots and the cabbages.
Mm-hmm. He must have had a green thumb.
He did. Yeah. Oh, and then he bought all, you know, and see, with my mother having canned everything to cannibal, and she made dill pickles and sauerkraut and grape juice and dried the herbs and
everything.
So I could never say that we went hungry.
And those were Depression years, right?
When those were the Depression years, because see, I was born in 14.
Yeah, my dad was born in 1915.
And my mother was born in 75. And she had learned how to do all the, and the people in Grinnell, back then the children wore long cotton stockings. Mm-hmm. And when they wore the feet out, they gave them to mother, and she cut them in diagonally and ran a seam, and we called them railroad stockings. So we had every color stocking anybody else had ever had. They were railroad stockings because the feet were out, because the children had worn off the foot. Uh-huh. But she made the railroad stocking.
Yeah, people got really good at figuring out
and,
how to make do.
She made our clothes from newspaper patterns. Uh-huh. Mine, anyway. My sisters were older than they were.
So the patterns would be in the newspaper and she would cut them
out?
No,
she
would design
she
it
made
herself.
Her own patterns.
Okay.
Yeah, she cut them out of the newspaper, and then she cut them out of the cloth.
She was pretty
you know,
talented.
In those days, the flour sacks and all were percale or cotton, and so consequently, they had lovely patterns. She made, they made them all, and she was good at it.
Yeah, she sounds like a great lady.
Oh, she was. She was. My mother was a lady before her time. Because she would not let us eat. She baked bread three times a week. And she would not let us eat any hot bread because she said it wasn't good for us.
Really?
No. And she wouldn't make white bread. She always made graham bread.
Yeah, which we know now is good
and,
for
and you see, I don't even see graham flour anymore. Have you seen it?
Well, no, I haven't. graham crackers, I guess, is about it.
Yeah, but graham flour. Uh-huh. And that was white flour that had braised brown flakes in it. I don't know how they made it, but that's what she always bought is graham flour.
I bet it was way healthier than the white
flour. I'm sure it was. Yeah. I'm sure it was because it must have had all the nutrients in it.
Yeah. Oh, I always loved warm breads, though. Homemade bread. No, she wouldn't let you eat that, huh?
Oh, no. Yeah, well, she made something. She learned how to make this when we lived in Red Wing. She called it coffee cooking.
Yeah?
K-U-C-H-E-N. And, you know, in Red Wing, there were, and she called it coffee cooking. Uh-huh. And, you know, in Red Wing, there were lots of Germans. Mm-hmm. And that's what she learned. And it was bread, and she made it in a square pan, and she put sugar and cinnamon on top when she baked it.
So that sounds delicious.
It was. Yeah. It was very good.
So it sounds like Grinnell was a good place to
grow up. It was a great place to grow up.
Uh-huh.
Because we walked to school, and they had good teachers. Uh-huh. And it was just a great place. At least for me it was. Now, you know, everyone doesn't have the same experience.
Yeah.
And my daughter tells me that I am oblivious to many, many things that are going on. And so she said, Mama, that's probably why you got along so well. You're paying attention to what people... And I guess that's true. That's why Grinnell was such a great place.
Sounds like
and
a good
having
skill.
Lived there always, because
uh-huh.
We had a house on First Avenue, 411 First Avenue, and I just sold the house 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because we see, back in those days, there were only two houses on the block,
uh-huh.
and ours was on the hill, and. The house was built right on that alley, mm-hmm. and see all the land, all the way to the corner,
mm-hmm.
and then because we had three lots.
So you had a lot of space for
growing
things.
And my mother always made us play uh-huh. at home, uh-huh. and we had friends who uh-huh. came in, and one of my friends is still living in Ottumwa, Iowa. And she worked at the Grinnell Library,
mm-hmm.
and she is 93.
Yeah?
94. She was 94 this week.
Wow. Have you been back to Grinnell lately?
I haven't been back to Grinnell for five years. That was the last time I was able to drive,
mm-hmm.
and I drove up there. Mm-hmm. And I had to go by myself because my husband was sick, mm-hmm. and he couldn't go.
Uh-huh.
So, and I said, well, that's it. I'm not going to drive back. And I drove back on 6
uh-huh.
because I said I missed 80.
Right. Yeah, more pleasant drive.
Oh, yeah, it was a great drive.
Yeah. So what did you think? I mean, has it changed much?
Oh, it's changed a lot because, you know, when I lived in Grinnell, there were 3,000. We had a total population of 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how many thousand there are now.
Just a little over 9,000.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And see, where I live at 411 First Avenue. Across the street, there was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we went over the hill, that was a pasture.
So you're practically out in the country.
We didn't consider it. We thought, and then up at the top of the hill, and see, then... The cemetery was not on First Avenue then. It was just south of First Avenue and west. And at the top of the hill, that's mm-hmm. before we got to the country, that's where the people lived who had cows. And that's where we walked to get our milk.
Uh-huh.
And... So it was, we were only about maybe 4 blocks from the country.
Mm-hmm. But still, in town.
Oh, yeah, we were in. Yeah, because see the cemetery.
Yeah.
And then Arbor Lake is south.
Right.
It was just over the hill from us. Uh-huh. There weren't that. And see, there weren't houses on Center Street. See, there weren't any houses on the south side of Center Street. There was on the north side, yes. Uh-huh. But, there, you know, as I said, 2 houses. So there were only about 2 houses.
Yeah.
There. Because, see, these people always had, you know, big lots.
Uh-huh.
Not big lots, but big spaces, more than...
Which is nice.
It was. Yeah. It was because, see, they had... 50. See, each lot is 50 feet,
mm-hmm.
and see that's a nice lot
yeah,
of space.
It's very nice
for everybody. So it was nice. So,
did you take a look at campus when you were back?
Oh my yes.
You should see it now. It's probably changed a lot
since
then. Oh yes, it's
not. I bet it doesn't even look like the same place, because do you know where the Matlack House is?
I'm not sure.
Well,
is it on Broad?
No.
No.
It's on East Street,
okay.
And 10th, East and 10th.
Okay. Yeah.
See, that's up in the corner.
Yeah.
And it was covered, you know, it was just like going into a, an estate.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, there was a long walk going up to their house, and they had all the trees and the grapevines and everything, and lots of land.
Sounds nice.
There. Oh, it was lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the Matlacks live.
Uh-huh. I wonder if that house is still there.
I don't know. I really don't know if it's still there.
It was on 10th, right?
It was on 10th
corner,
and like
here's 10th and here's East.
Uh-huh.
So the house would be up here?
Wait, in the right across.
Yeah. It
across
might be.
On the, north side of East and east of East Depp.
Uh-huh.
East Street. I mean East Street,
East Street.
Laura Wyman?
I didn't.
Yeah, well, Laura Wyman lived there the
mm-hmm.
last.
Mm-hmm.
She was the last of her family.
Mm-hmm.
Although, her sister moved back and lived in Fanny Buchanan's house. But I think her sister died before she did.
Yeah.
So all the Matlacks.
They were a wonderful family from
oh,
what I hear.
Oh, my, yes. And, you know, their mother was a weaver.
Mm.
And so was Laura. Oh, they made beautiful things on their looms.
Yeah.
And of course, the mother did a lot of social work mm-hmm. in the city.
Right. Well, there are still things on campus that I know you would recognize, because Herrick is still there. And
Well, now, what did they do about the quadrangle? I mean, no, the girls, no, the quadrangle was where the boys, was where the girls lived.
Yeah.
All right.
It's still there.
And, well, you know that dining room that
mm-hmm.
had that vaulted ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
It's still there.
It's still there. It's not student dining anymore.
No.
It's more like special dining room.
Oh, yeah.
Like if the trustees come.
Oh, I see.
Or
then,
they'll have a
now, where
wedding
the
reception
eat?
In there. Excuse me. There's a new student center, the Joe Rosenfield
the
Center.
No, that was where the Stoops house was, I think, where they built the new thing
yeah.
that he gave them the money for.
Yeah, and that's where they eat now.
Really?
They all eat together at the Rosenfield
they do.
Center. Yeah.
The boys do?
Boys and the girls eat together,
because,
yeah.
Because, you know, the boys ate in the door.
Yep.
And the girls ate in the quadrangle.
Yeah.
When I came back to our 60-something reunion, we stayed in Reed.
Uh-huh. Your old...
Where the... Mm-hmm. No, we stayed in the part where they had the elevator.
Okay.
That was not too far from the dining room.
Yeah.
You know, it's where the elevator is.
Right.
And then went out the door onto
mm-hmm.
6th Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how many of our classes are still living.
Well, I wonder.
Because, you know, when I went back, there were 7 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the year that they honored Bear.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he died right after he died. I think we got it the early part of June or the last of May. And he died about the 29th.
Really?
Of that month.
Yeah.
I don't know if his wife is still living.
I don't either. So you have another reunion this year?
Yeah, this is our reunion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This will be our 7th.
Do you think you might come?
No? No, because, see, I need help. See, old people forget. And I forget something, you know, and I know where it was. And so I wouldn't come back unless I, you know.
Maybe you could get your friend Alphonette to come with you.
And you know, when I came here in 1937, she was just a little girl.
Is that right?
Yeah, just her mother was a girl reserve secretary at the YWCA where they gave me a job, you know, because that's what the seniors did that year. 37, you know, we were just coming out of the Depression, and there were no jobs. So they brought a group of us to Chicago to see if we could get jobs. Well, I got a job at the YWCA. And that secretarial job is certainly not like the secretarial job now.
Oh, really?
No. I had to be a desk clerk. I had to be a stenographer. I had to do the telephone operator, and we had to do all duplicate all the programs. Mm-hmm. So you see, that's not like sick. And when we had lectures, I had to take the lectures and type up the lecture. So we had all of that to do at the YWCA.
So you practically ran the place, it sounds
no,
like.
No, but all of us. See, see, they were open 24 hours, and we had 3 shifts.
So there were 3 secretaries?
Oh, no, there were at least 3. $25 of that I had to send back to Grinnell because the Ladies Aid Society had paid for my graduation.
Oh.
Well, you see, they were very good to me at Grinnell.
I'm glad.
They were very good.
I think they still do that. I think they do it every year at the Ladies Aid Society.
Do they to anyone who can? So, you know, it's you see how helpful the college and encouraging they are to their students.
Well, that's good. They should be. That's,
yeah, they should be, but everyone, that was long before they had co-ed dorms.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, the people who had children in college, when they started that, they really were upset.
Yeah. It was a big change.
Oh, yes. A co-ed dorm? You know, because they first started out with the floors, and then they went to, you can have one right next door.
That's wild, isn't it?
Oh, they thought, we thought that was just too much. And another reason why Grinnell was so important to me, my uncle was a chef in the girls' dorm.
Oh, okay.
And his friend was and his wife were chef and salad cook at the boys' dorm. So, you know, see, Grinnell was really closely entwined with our lives, monetarily and physically.
Did either of your kids go to Grinnell?
No.
Did you want them to?
I had 2 daughters.
Uh-huh.
That's my oldest daughter, and there's my youngest daughter on that other wall.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted the youngest daughter to go, but she went to Aurora instead. Grinnell was too far away.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
And my oldest daughter, she wanted to go to Chicago University, so that's where she went.
Well, that's nice and close, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So neither of them wanted to go. So no other, and None of my family wanted to go to Grinnell. I'm the only one.
But you really wanted to go.
I really wanted to go. And that's the only place I've ever had ever wanted to go. And because, my older sister went to Fisk. My next older sister went to Hampton. And the sister next to me went to university in Iowa State. And she got her master's from the University of Iowa. And then my oldest sister came to live in Iowa City. My oldest brother, he finished at Hampton. Mm-hmm. My youngest brother, he didn't go to college there. He went to Washington, D.C. and went to school there. Mm-hmm. And 'cause my sister, who finished Hampton, was in Washington, D.C., and she worked for the Library of Congress.
Uh-huh. So you're really a very well-educated, accomplished family.
Well,
that's just awesome.
You know what Mother said.
Yeah.
Get an education.
And everybody listened, it sounds like.
Well, you know, one of the things is she didn't let us do a lot of things that other kids did, you mm-hmm. know. No movies on Sunday. No movies, period. And no card playing, no alcohol.
She's a tough lady, too.
Oh, she was. She was a tough taxmaster. That was it. Those were all the things that we did. And we went to church every Sunday mm-hmm. and one day during the week. Mm-hmm. So she saw to it that we were.
I think Abby told me that. Was it your grandmother was a slave or your great-grandmother?
Oh, yeah. Well, my grandmother was a slave. My grandfather was a slave. And, see, my grandmother was still living until 1920.
Uh-huh.
And you know, my great-grandfather was a soldier in Napoleon's army.
Really?
And when he came to America, he took my great-great-grandmother Jane as his wife, although she was like his mistress. She was a slave.
Okay, let me make sure I got this right. Your great-great-grandfather?
Yeah.
Was a soldier in Napoleon's army?
Yeah. Uh-huh. His name was Gilbar.
So then your great-great-grandmother was his mistress.
And when he was sick and dying, he asked his friend to take her as his slave. But he wanted to free her. Mm-hmm. But since she was an adult, she could not be freed.
Really?
No, adult could not be freed. But you mm-hmm. see, he had freed his three children that he mm-hmm. had by her mm-hmm. and sent all three of them to Ohio, to different Quaker families. Mm-hmm. His son, Aaron, finished Wilberforce and taught in Kentucky and died in the Civil War.
Oh, my.
And Anna Catherine was a butterfly, so she danced on one of those river boats on the Ohio. Uh-huh. And my grandmother came all the way to Oskaloosa, Iowa with the Quakers. My grandfather ran away because he was born in Arkansas.
So
he escaped and took his father, his brother's name. His brother's name was George. His name was Joseph, but his brother's name was George. And he took his brother's name and ran away because his brother was free. And they kept him hidden in Kansas City for a year.
Oh, really?
Because he was an escaped slave.
Uh-huh.
And then he finally came up to Oskaloosa, where he married my grandmother.
And then they?
They had three children.
Had three children.
My mother uh-huh. and her two sisters. And her sister, her older sister is the one that had the triplets, the Lucas triplets.
Wow, that must have been exciting. Triplets didn't happen that
often. Oh, no, but she had the triplets.
Well, I can imagine she needed some help with three
babies.
Yeah,
that's why my mother went there to live with her in Grinnell. And her husband was a baker. And John Lucas.
Well, aren't you glad that your mother got to Grinnell?
Oh, yes.
And worked out good.
And, see, why I know so much about our history is my mother was a great storyteller. And, see, she would tell us all about the slaves and what happened to them. And my grandfather's, who was a Craig, he escaped, and then his family finally were freed, you know, after the Civil War, and they moved to Pueblo, Colorado. They had the most beautiful members of his family. They were gorgeous. Because they were mixed with Indian and white. And I wish I had those pictures. One's name was Americus. Other name was, what was her name? She lived in Tacoma. Nettie. Her name was Nettie. She lived in Tacoma, Washington. And on my father's side, my father's mother was from Guinea. And she was very, very small. She was about 5 feet, because my father was only 5'8". And she had, and her husband was over 6 feet.
Oh, really?
And they lived in Texas. And Texas must have been a territory at that time. Because I don't know whether she had been a slave or what, but I know that they married in Texas. And she had these three boys, Will, Dave, and Lee Augustus, who was my father.
Lee Augustus?
Lee Augustus.
I like that. Sounds very distinguished.
And you know, my father was 96 when he died in 1945. He had been.
Did your mother die first?
No.
No, okay.
He died in 45. Mama didn't die until 61.
Okay, how old was she when she died?
87.
Good long lives.
Yeah, and my sister, who, not my sister next to me, but my next oldest sister, she was 91, and she died in 97.
I bet it was wonderful listening to your mom tell those stories.
I'm the only one. I used to sit on her lap all the time. Mama, tell me a story. Mama, tell me a story. And she would just sit there in the evening and tell me all these things, because nobody else listened to her. Mama talk too much. But I love to hear her tell. And some of the stories that she told me, you would really believe in spirits. Because of all, and because she said that my grandfather was 14 years old when he was sold to New Orleans. 14. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time he had been away from his mother. And he was sold to a plantation in Algiers. And he was so unhappy and so upset because, you know, he was the last boy and they had fed it, and he was just a baby and he just couldn't get. So, in order to make himself sick, he ate fat meat, drank swamp water, and put tobacco juice in his eyes.
My gosh.
So, naturally, you know, he was partly dying because of the tobacco juice. And So they wouldn't keep it in Algiers, you know. Uh-huh. You're no good if you can't work.
Yeah.
So they sold him back to New Orleans. And he was sold to a plantation in Mississippi, across the river. And the overseer was a nice overseer. And my grandfather carried on and had such a fit. And see, my grandfather was very fair. So consequently, you know, he was a house slave.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a valet
mm-hmm.
to the master. And overseer said, get me some money from your master's pocket. And at a certain time of the moon, you can run away. And a certain time of the moon, that's what he did. That's when he ran away. And how he got back to Arkansas, I don't know. But he did. He did run away, and then he couldn't stay in Arkansas because he was a runaway slave. And so then he ran all up to, he got to Kansas City, Kansas. And that's where they hid him for a year.
And he had, like, the blindness, partial
blindness? Yeah, he was partially blind. All the rest of his life he was partially blind, but he was a barber. And when he got to Grinnell, he was his own lawyer. He sued practically everybody in Grinnell. If he had been white, he would have been a judge. Even though, you see, he didn't have that much education.
But he must have been smart.
He was. And my sister, who worked in the Congressional Library, my sister Alice, she was just like my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
She sued practically everybody. And she lived in Suitland, Maryland, and she sued about everybody there. And she was going to, and you know, so what she did, she sued in small court, claims court.
Uh-huh.
And when she came here, she was 88 years old. She was going to start that here, but she didn't live long enough.
Almost sounds like it was a sport or something.
It was fun. I don't know why she sued, but everybody, she's just like my grandpa. And whatever he sued about, it was something that somebody had done in Grinnell.
Yeah.
You know,
it
was against what he thought they should do to a black person.
Yeah. Well, good for him. He was fighting for his rights.
He fought for his rights.
People have to do that. They get walked on.
Yeah. So, you know, we came from a bunch of fighters.
Good for you.
And my mother, she always, that's another thing she always told us, she says, never go to a cow's tail. Always go to his head.
Well, that's good advice.
See, that was excellent advice.
Yeah.
And because she says, the tail doesn't know anything.
Yeah. You're very good point.
Yeah.
Well, were some of those stories kind of scary for you as a kid?
No, because she didn't make them scary.
Okay.
And it just seemed like part of living.
Uh-huh.
When she told us the story, you know, she said that one of the slave masters had killed his wife, and he married a beautiful young girl from Baltimore. And, you know, they used to have those latches mm-hmm. to the bedroom door.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that, one of the maids that worked upstairs said, that they couldn't keep that door locked. Couldn't keep it latched because every night they'd hear a latch.
Really?
And it was open.
Wow.
And then she talked about, you know, they always had, if they didn't have the kitchen outdoors, they had it down in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that evidently the slaves, you know, they would help slaves who were running away and they would hide them behind the wall. In the house,
mm-hmm.
and she said and somebody had gotten killed or something, and she said that all the pans, every time they'd put the pans up on that wall, they'd all come down.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. So those were all the kind of stories
uh-huh.
my mother told. And that's why I said, I don't go see anything, because I said, Mama told me about all of the things that happened to people.
Yeah.
Like the, You know, because, you know, everybody's going to see The Color Purple.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't need to go see The Color Purple. Mama told me all about that, so I'm not going to go see it. No, I don't need to see
it. Yeah, you don't need to. You heard about
it, right? I heard about it firsthand.
Yeah.
So I don't need to hear about it. And to me, it's very depressing when the people, there's things that happen to people and there's nothing they can do about it.
Oh, I know.
See,
me
that's,
too.
You know, I want, if something's happened, I want to do something about it.
Right. If you can't do anything, then it just kind of eats at you.
Oh, yes, it just, yeah. It's just too much.
Yeah, I'm the same way. So you must have some great memories of
fun
times at Grinnell.
Oh, yes.
What's your favorite memory from Grinnell?
The Christmas Yule log services. And I understand they don't have it anymore.
No, they don't.
You know, because every year they'd bring in the same Yule log, you know, mm-hmm. and relight it. And then, you know, we have a Christmas tree, and it was always before the everybody left, you know.
Uh-huh. And then they put on their pretty white dresses.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, we all dressed up. Oh. That was a time.
I bet it was fun.
And on George Washington's birthday, when we had the minuet in the gym,
uh-huh.
That was our dance.
And you dressed up like fine ladies.
Yes.
Gentlemen in wigs.
And the men had on their long tails, yeah. And what have you.
That sounds fun too.
Oh, it was. It was just, you know, I said people don't have fun like they used to.
Not really, no.
Yeah, and. So when I was in high school, my friend who worked at the library and a fellow that was in high school with us, the three of us would have these picnics in the fall,
mm-hmm.
and we'd go in the country, we would pick up nuts, and then we'd each of us would bring something for the picnic, and it was just great fun. And you know, one of the things is no one was ever afraid. Well, of course, you know, there are a lot of things that weren't right in Grinnell, but
mm-hmm.
Well, not just like the movie. We could go to the movies. Unless we wanted to go way up in the balcony.
Yeah.
But I can go to movies anyway.
Yeah.
So I didn't care. So you see, that's why I say that I was different than a lot of people. Because see, there were so many things I didn't care about.
Right.
And I didn't care if George Marx didn't let us in the theater.
Uh-huh.
And the Candyland.
Mm-hmm.
We could go to the Candyland.
You couldn't?
No. And, but see, it didn't make any difference because I wasn't going, I didn't have any money to go in there anyway. So, you know, if there's things that enter your life and you can't do, then you're upset. But you see, if you didn't have any money, you weren't going there anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always kept busy. My mother kept us busy doing things.
I bet.
So consequently, you know, because we didn't not do anything. We had to work. Because
mm-hmm.
I worked for 25 cents an hour. So I could have music lessons.
Uh-huh. What, did you play an instrument or sing there?
I was taking piano.
Uh-huh.
And so to earn, and the piano lessons cost 75 cents mm-hmm. a half hour. So consequently, I worked 3 hours
mm-hmm.
for that 75 cents.
So did you work directly for the piano teacher or?
I worked for her, and then I worked for Mrs. Swisher. And you don't remember the Swishers, but they had the most exclusive dress shop in the city.
Uh-huh.
And I worked for Mrs. Swisher.
So it sounds like if you had wanted to, you could have been really bothered by some things.
Yeah, there are a lot of things you could have been bothered by. Which, that's what my daughter told me. She said, Mother, you're too oblivious. You don't even pay any attention.
But what a great philosophy, because it worked for you.
It worked for me.
Yeah.
And now, see, it wouldn't work for everybody.
Yeah.
But that worked for me, because I think part of it was my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my father, too, because He did things that he could do, and what he couldn't do, he didn't do. And he didn't, and you know, they were, neither of them were quarrelsome. Mm-hmm. You know, if things, you know, little things, they didn't have chips. Mm-hmm. And so.
So they didn't carry around a grudge or they didn't let things eat at them.
They didn't let, you know, I don't know why, but I think neither one of them, neither were quarrelsome.
Yeah.
And we had my aunt, mm-hmm. my two aunts lived there, and my one aunt had come to Chicago and gone to a beauty school, mm-hmm. Dewberry, and she had her shop uptown, mm-hmm. and so and those things, I guess they didn't bother me.
So did her beauty salon, did that cater to both black and white people?
Well, there weren't that many. See, in Grinnell, there weren't that many black people. See, Grinnell has never had many black people.
Yeah, it still really doesn't have
so,
many.
So it has never had many.
Yeah.
And we had the most when those Rosenwald scholars came. And that was the 12 boys mm-hmm. that came from different parts of the country mm-hmm. that were Rosenwald scholars.
Yeah, one of the things that the college is really trying to do now is attract more black students and faculty.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, one of the things is that now salaries make such a difference.
Yeah.
See, and things cost so much more, and people want more different things, you know, entertainment. Mm-hmm. Whereas back in those days, they had entertainment, but it wasn't kind of the kind of entertainment that worked. That
people want more. I think.
Yeah, they want more.
Yeah, they want. Oh, I don't know, pro sports teams and that sort
of thing. Yeah, and they, well, it was just a thing. When they put that black house in Grinnell, I said, well, that's crazy.
Black Cultural Center, that one?
No, they had that house up on, it was up on 10th. 10th and High.
Okay.
Or Park.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, it was just on the same street as the chapel.
Yeah,
it was that house. Mm-hmm. Well, Lord, the old house looked like it was falling down. I said, what in the world does anybody want an old house like that? I said, that doesn't make sense. They don't need any house. And just like they said they were going to start this, the food thing. What food? What everybody else eats. Mm-hmm. And to me, those things, see, one of the things is, as long as you look at color, you lose the whole thing. I've always felt, and Mother said, the color of your skin is what's inside the person. Mm-hmm. And she always preached that what's inside is what's important, not to her, that would have been garbage, mm-hmm. is the fact that you wanted, neck bones or what? Well, Mama, we had neck bones all the time, but it wasn't something that everybody where we lived ate neck bones.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't. It wasn't a different sort of food. My uncle, who worked at the college, he cut the backbone out of the pig,
uh-huh.
and we got that long pig.
Sure.
Mama baked it.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was just meat.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything special, you know. Wasn't any special food. So, to me, food is not anything special. And why make a molehill out, a mountain out of it? Mm-hmm. And the same thing with living. And I feel that. Don't look at a person by their color. Look at the person. What kind of a person is that? Is that the kind of person you want to know? Mm-hmm. What values do they have? Those are the things that are important. What difference does it make about your hair?
Yeah.
What difference does it make about anything?
Uh-huh.
If you're not a great person inside, I don't care what you are.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things I think needs to be emphasized. Forget about color. And one of the things is, you say, oh, it's a cultural difference. It's no cultural difference. We haven't lived anywhere but in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, we've all had the same things
mm-hmm.
in our lives. So consequently, let's not dwell on those things. See, that's what makes it so hard.
So you mean don't necessarily just cling to the people.
That's right. Don't cling. Just because I'm black, don't send somebody black to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know that person.
Right.
And I don't care anything about them.
Yeah.
Send somebody who has had the same kind of experience as I've
uh-huh.
had, or who has been in my class, or that I know.
Yeah.
See, don't. And I feel that makes it, it just, it really defeats what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you clump people together.
Yeah.
Who don't have anything in common. People who have things in common, they are able to go forward. But these people who...
Well, we all benefit from getting to know each
other. That's right. And
no,
that's
no matter
what you look like is not important.
Yeah.
What's the important part is to get to know the thing you don't know anything about. And that's why I think it's so great about reading.
Mm-hmm.
You read about all of these things that go on and all the things that have happened in history. And it's just so great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go places that you'd never get to go in real
you
life.
You would never get
yeah.
there. Because just like my daughter, you know, our daughter's going to retire in June.
Wow, can you believe that?
That's what I mean. She's taught.
Uh-huh.
17 more years than I taught. She taught. She's taught for 38.
Good for her.
And she was going to go from Beijing to Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, and that was going to be 60 days. She said, well, I do it, but you and Daddy are too old. And see, she won't go. But just say, look what that experience would have done for her.
Yeah.
And you see, this is the sort of thing that you do if you forget what color you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I taught the girls. But mm-hmm. forget, don't say anything about color. Don't tell me what color your friend. To the person,
yeah.
Not to the color.
Yeah.
Don't go to the color.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to the color. Just because I've said it over there, don't come to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have anything I want. Somebody may come to me. Well, they may know how to make a cake that I'd like to make, or bread.
Yeah.
See, all that sort of thing.
Right.
And that's what I say. Or they may know something about a historical event.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. Well, they come to me and then, oh, that's great, because, see, I'm learning something.
Right.
I don't learn anything for you just because you're my color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the really true great things about Grinnell. I mean,
oh,
even
yes,
for somebody
that's
like me who
yeah.
just works there.
Yeah.
So you really do get to meet all kinds of people.
That's right.
And you find out, you know, they're just like you.
Yeah.
And
that's
what,
so, and you know, this is why I say it's just so surprising. And, you know, that's why I've enjoyed working at the Art Institute. Because,
uh-huh.
you know, the people come from all over the world. And it's so interesting to hear about their experiences when they come to Chicago and the things that they have seen and what things that they have found important.
Uh-huh.
And so it's really great.
Yeah, tell me about that. What do you do at the Art Institute?
I'm in the Children's Museum. And... I sit at the information desk. And of course, they want to know, well, what's here? And, you know, every 2 years they change what they offer. Now, with the 2 years ago, they brought in all of these artisans from Africa. Mm-hmm. The man who told us how they made those staffs, they start at the top. And as you go down the staff, it tells a story. Mm-hmm. Everyone, and each person makes his own,
uh-huh,
you know,
yeah.
Each chieftain, and it tells his story. And the same thing with these tusks. Mm-hmm. They take the elephant tusk, and it tells a story,
uh-huh.
Each thing. And they had these women who sat and took a lump of clay, made chickens, made elephants, and the children could come and watch that.
Uh-huh.
And it was just so, and then they had from China, they had the people who did block printing,
mm-hmm.
and then those who did silk screen. And those artisans were the ones that, you know, they just, here you are just seated here, and here the children can gather around and get up close and mm-hmm. find out how they did all these things. And they showed how they made the kente cloth.
Oh, really?
The Africans did.
Uh-huh.
You know, kente cloth is only made 6 inches wide.
I didn't know that.
And do you know what they do?
Mm-mm.
They weave it together, and it can be any width, but they weave, and you can't tell where uh-huh. one
really
is joined to the uh-huh. other. And so that was just wonderful to know that kente cloth is made like that. Because most people get on a loom and they make it as wide
right.
as they want. But they didn't. They have just these little 6-inch.
Uh-huh.
And they would make these long strips. Well, that was, you know, see, things like that, you just don't learn anywhere else.
Sounds like it's pretty exciting.
It is exciting in the museum, field museum. I mean, art institute. And you meet different people.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go. I've been there 15 years.
Really?
Yeah, I get my... After 5 years, they give you a lion.
Uh-huh.
At 10 years, they put a stone in the lion.
Uh-huh.
And then 15 years, you get another one.
Can I see your lion? Is he around here somewhere?
No. It's just a little medallion.
A pin,
and right? I'm going to get a new pin, a new stone. In May. So they have my
okay.
pen so they can put the stone
okay.
in it. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. So, I volunteered with Goodwill,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still their treasurer, the Goodwill Auxiliary. And they have what's called the Pants to Petticoats
uh-huh.
Fashion show.
Uh-huh.
And they start out with all the old-fashioned clothes, you know, with the bustle and all of that. And
that's
they,
so fun.
And they also have a hat show with all the old hats.
Uh-huh.
And they have written a script for the fashion show and for the hat show. And they charge $650 for the fashion show. And the money that they raise goes to help release prisoners learn a trade
uh-huh.
and get them ready to go
right.
out in the world.
That's terrific.
And the hat shows cost $75, and they give you the script and you put on your own hat show and raise funds, you know, for whatever
uh-huh.
you want. So, and I've been with them since 1977.
So you are a dedicated volunteer.
Well, after all, people have given me so much, so it's time to give back, you know.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah.
And since I feel all right, and since I can still drive.
How long were you at the YMCA? How long were you the secretary there?
Oh, I was there from 1940.
So,
three years?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you were a school teacher, right?
No, not then. Okay. I didn't become a, I worked for the University of Chicago. And I worked for the state and their employment employment compensation office. And I worked for the city. in their social work office. And then I decided I wanted, when I was at the University of Chicago, I decided I wanted to be a teacher. And I, my major had been psych and minor in economics and history. And so I had to take those education courses after so I could teach. And I taught for 21 years.
What age kids did you teach?
I taught sixth grade.
And how many years? I'm sorry.
Oh, 21.
21.
And my last years, I was called the head teacher, which is, I took the place of an assistant principal in a branch. Mm-hmm. And my very last year, I taught in a school where they had hearing impaired, partially sighted, gifted, and regular. And that was my greatest year because I had so much supportive staff to do this.
Did you enjoy teaching?
Oh, I loved it. And that last year I had a group of children. They were sixth graders. Mm-hmm. All of them were on the third grade level. Mm-hmm. When they finished that year with me, three of my boys went into the gifted program.
Oh my gosh. You must have been so proud.
I was. Because I had one girl who came to me from the Disney Magnet School. She didn't know how to print her name on the paper.
Yeah.
So you see, it was really a mixed bag.
Yeah.
And I thought, so that girl I sent to the assistant principal. I told him, I'm not teaching this child. She came out of a magnet school. The very idea of her not being able to even print at a sixth grade.
Yeah.
All she thought she was supposed to do is sit up and cry.
Really?
She had long blonde hair. She thought they were just all the boys.
Just to look beautiful.
So she had long blonde hair. I said, I'm sorry. And the first day they came in, one of the girls the room was quiet, and all of a sudden, bang! She had jumped up and dumped over her desk.
Really?
And you know, all the children looked at me because these children had all been together. Mm-hmm. So,
like they knew what to expect from her.
They knew this. That's what she's going to do. Oh, Miss Smith, she's not going to do that in here. I said, Christine, I tell you what you do. Pick up your desk. Put all your things back in the desk, and I don't ever want to see you do that again. They thought she was stupid. She wasn't. She was a smart girl. But she thought that was funny because people laughed. But see, I didn't laugh. Mm-hmm. And she just went on. And she did well. Mm-hmm. She could pass. But when you let children do things like this and don't do anything about it, that's when they're lost. But I was very, and she was very proud of those children, the principal, that they, three of them, went to the gifted program.
So do you think it was the fact that you expected them to do well?
I expected them to do their work.
Right.
I didn't expect them not to do, and I taught them, I said, we do not curse in this room. Mm-hmm. We do not tell each other, shut up. Mm-hmm. We say, we are courteous to each other. I said, you always say thank you, and you always say please. Well, see, this was something. And I said, and anybody who is unhappy, you see that door right there? You are welcome.
And they didn't go?
Nobody's going to go anywhere. They knew they couldn't go anywhere. But I think You respect children. You respect them as individuals. You do not do things to them that you don't want done to yourself. Mm-hmm. I saw one of my boys in court, in traffic court one day, since he's been grown. He told his friend, "That's my teacher, Miss Smith." I got to.
That must have been a fun moment.
It was. It's fun when you see your children.
Yeah.
And one of the boys I had in the very beginning, he was from Robert Taylor. And you know, Robert Taylor had a horrible reputation. But his mother had all these boys, and she, every morning, they had a clean shirt, starch cuff, mm-hmm. and starch cuff. Mm-hmm. And so, do you know he left school in sixth grade and signed up for the Vietnam War?
Oh my gosh, sixth grade?
Yeah. And he went to Vietnam.
He must have been...
And he got shot. Mm. All right, then he shrapnel in his leg. And they sent him home, but you know, he went back.
Did he really?
Yeah. And then when he came out, he finished school. He went to Northeastern Illinois. He and his wife both got their master's degree.
Oh my gosh.
So you see, it shows you that children can do. And you just respect the fact that they can do if you just have faith. And for my 80th birthday, he and his wife invited my husband and I to have dinner on them at Chris's Steakhouse downtown.
Oh, nice.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
You know. So I said, well, now see, he turned out so well. And his brother was the biggest dope dealer in Robert Taylor.
Well, he had so somebody just, who cared, somebody who
yeah,
believed.
I don't know, it's just amazing how children turn out.
So you taught in Chicago schools?
Yeah,
Chicago
I taught at my first school was on the west side, and when I started at that school, it was 95% white, and that was in September of 54. In June of 55, it was 95% black.
I guess that was the...
That was, this, you know, because that was a Jewish area, uh-huh. and they all moved.
Yeah.
From
That's a huge change, though.
Wasn't that a change?
Yeah.
Wasn't that in less than a year? That was less than a year.
Wow.
From September to June.
Good heavens.
And then after that, I taught for there for for 3 years,
uh-huh.
and then I went to Beethoven, which is at Robert Taylor, and that's where I was a master teacher, or head teacher, and they changed principal. Well, the principal died, and
so you kind of filled in.
No, I went to Hope.
Okay.
After that, and then from Hope, I went to Bell. That's where I retired from Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I had a wonderful experience as a teacher. But it taught me a lot. Being a master teacher taught me a lot. In that there are people who are not responsible. See, I was, you know, whatever came from the principal, I had to send out to my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always send a sheet. You know, you sign that you had received this memo. If they didn't do it, I'd say, well, here's your name. You were supposed to do something. That's not my seat. That's mine. But I say, it shows you how people...
Well, that must have been frustrating.
It is, and listen, being administrator over adults is very frustrating.
I bet.
So many of them
yeah.
take no responsibility
yeah.
for their action.
Yeah.
And now I wouldn't be an administrator in the school system now.
Yeah.
Because it's so different.
Uh-huh.
And the parents are so different. Mm-hmm. See, parents respected teachers.
I know.
Back in those days.
Yeah.
But now they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of their lack of respect, the children have no respect. And you see, that lack of responsibility of the parent,
mm-hmm.
it just makes your work so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And you just wonder why. And you know why the children don't learn.
Right.
Because, you know, if the child is supposed to turn in homework, you have to see that he does it mm-hmm. at home.
Right.
Not after he gets to school. Or
uh-huh.
don't tell me that, oh, well. And another thing, I feel that, you know, if you tell the child, oh, now go show that to your mother. I said, but don't show it to her when she's cooking. Or something because she's busy, but show it to her so she'll see how nicely uh-huh. you did this. I tell her, Mama didn't want to look at it.
Oh.
And you know, this is discouraging,
mm-hmm.
especially for a child who's having a difficult time.
Right, they need that.
They need that encouragement.
They do.
Just to do a little bit better.
It's teamwork.
Oh,
parents
yeah,
and
teamwork.
Teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that we don't have with the parents. Because
mm-hmm.
you work with the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
If you work with the teacher, then the child does well.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But it makes it hard. It is. It's just, you feel so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
The children have such a hard time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that idiot buck doesn't help. You know that, don't you? There's so much good stuff on, but there's so much doesn't help.
Yeah.
And they could, because they could teach them. Oh, because there's so much to learn that we didn't know anything. Just look at all the underwater
mm-hmm.
exploration that they're doing. That's teaching us so much about the world that we had no idea. I didn't know there were mountains and things, and
yeah.
rivers, and those things. Under the water,
yeah.
way down,
Kudu, right?
Yeah, it's just something.
Yeah,
and all of that is on TV.
Uh-huh.
All of it, they're telling it all to you.
Yeah,
but,
and you can see it. Yeah.
Oh yes, and I mean, it's just such a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Is to see all of this
right.
thing. That's just
right.
like.
Yeah, things we would never get to see.
No, never, because well, you're not, you can't go everywhere.
Right, the beautiful wildlife.
Oh yes,
lions.
They had some beautiful pictures on the TV of infant wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
They had the hippopotamus, the baby elephant. And, you know, I said, they're just so
adorable.
Cute.
Yeah.
It was. They
yeah.
were so cute. And I said, this is just something that, you know, and I just think about my mother, how she would have loved
okay.
it because it would mean something. Just like she used to look at my geography books when I was teaching. Oh, she said, I wish I had had these books like this when I was going
yeah.
to school.
Yeah.
She said they wouldn't have been able to get me out of school.
She must have had a real love of learning.
Oh, she did. She did, yeah. As I said, my mother was really way before that. Because she wouldn't cook an aluminum.
How smart was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said, anything will change color.
Uh-huh.
Some of that must be in the food.
She was right.
And she was. And they found out
uh-huh.
that these things are true. And they found out, too, like iron. They found out in cooking in iron, the iron leaches into the food, and the people are getting the iron. They don't have to take iron.
Right. Yeah, that one's actually good for you.
Yeah, and that's good for you.
Yeah.
So you see all these things we just didn't know.
But your mom somehow did.
Oh, yeah, she did. Well, I'm sure she learned it, but she did, yeah.
So tell me a little about your family. Your two daughters?
I had two daughters.
What are their names?
Virginia was the oldest, and then Alice.
Alice?
Mm-hmm.
Grandchildren?
No grandchildren, or no son-in-laws. Neither of them married. My oldest daughter worked for Sidlin Austin, but she developed liver problem, and she was waiting for a liver, and she had a stroke. She died at 57.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And my youngest daughter went to they went to elementary school at UC, you know, lab school, mm-hmm. University of Chicago lab mm-hmm. school. And Virginia went on to UC College, and Alice went to Aurora, and she finished Aurora and had been teaching in the Chicago system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they've done.
I bet you're proud.
I'm very proud of my children. And now we are here.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a nice neighborhood,
place. It's a very lovely neighborhood. And I retired in 1976. And my husband retired in 75. And
what did he do?
He was a milkman.
And what's his first name? I should know.
Henry.
Him. Henry.
Mm-hmm. And we, when we retired, we traveled.
Oh yeah? Where did you go?
Well, my sister-in-law lived in British Columbia, so we drove there, and then went on down the coast,
mm-hmm.
around. His sister lived in L.A.
So you drove.
Yeah, we drove. These were all, and in fact, my husband, after he retired, tried to hit every state in the Union going somewhere. The only place he did not get was Florida.
That's pretty darn good.
And we went all the way across Canada,
mm-hmm.
to Nova Scotia.
So you really did.
Well,
see
you
the
did. We did. We really saw the country.
Uh huh.
And he went up in the Canadian Rockies because my brother and sister-in-law lived in British Columbia.
What was your favorite place of all the places you visited?
I think Nova Scotia.
Uh huh.
Nova Scotia was such a revelation to me because I didn't realize so many slaves had escaped to Nova Scotia, and they have done so much for the history of that city. Also, I didn't know that black people had done so much in the development of Texas. And at the museum in San Antonio, they have the great contribution that blacks have made in that state.
I didn't know that either, but
no. But you go to that uh-huh. museum in San Antonio, and it's all there for you to see. It is just great.
Yeah.
It is. It's just, and the same thing in Nova Scotia. They mm-hmm. they just have a everything, and all the contributions made. So it cool. yes, it was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I may have exhausted my supply of questions here.
All right.
Is there anything else that
no, this
like you thought I would ask you that I didn't,
no,
or that you'd like
no,
to say?
No, I didn't even think you know me. No. No, I haven't thought of it. And anything I said, it just popped out, you know, when I thought of it. You know. So it's been very nice having you.
Oh, it's been very nice to meet you.